And so I want to talk about our Father of the Year, our Heavenly Father, and who He is.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Would you pray together with me as we begin this morning's message? Father, thank you so much for this day that you have given us to honor fathers. And I just, Father, want to call out on you that you would continue to love us, continue to minister to us as your children. And I give you praise, and I just ask, Father, that as we begin this message, that you would just touch our hearts and that you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, any fathers or fathers-to-be that will listen to this message, that you would just create in them a desire to be what you want them to be. In Jesus' name. God's people said, amen and amen. This morning as I prayed about the message that he wanted me to bring, this story came to me. And I'd like to read you this story. It's called Father of the Year. The day had finally arrived when the Father of the Year Award would finally be given out. The crowd had gathered from all over the region to find out which of the three fathers that had made the finals would take home the coveted prize and trophy. As the contest began that morning, each father was asked to stand and give their best reasons for why they felt this esteemed award should be given to them. As father number one came to the podium, he was very confident that what he had to say would win the heart of the judges to name him Father of the Year. He began by giving a long history of how he, from a young adult, had meticulously planned his financial future for taking care of all the needs of his child, from the time that he was born to the time that he finished college. He bragged about how much he had financially given up to his child during the entire time he was growing up, how he had the best of the best and never went without. He continued with how long of hours he had worked to pay off everything and provide everything that that boy would ever need, including the best of education. With this, he proudly sat down, gloating of how he would take home that trophy. Father number two stepped up to the podium, and he began his plea for the prize to come. He said that what was most important for him was that his sons and daughters experience concentrated discipline in their lives to have the best chance of making it through life. He continued that he would make sure that his children always followed the rules that he had made. And if they didn't, there would be severe consequences that would follow. He assured them that this would be to their best interest to make it through life. He made sure that each child was held to the highest and strictest standards so that they wouldn't be like all the other misbehaved children that they went to school with. With these statements, he confidently closed his speech, thinking for sure this would bring him the esteemed reward. Father number three now took the stage, and he began his dissertation on why he felt that this award should go to him before the day was over. He proudly said, "I am not like the two that have come before me. I've never tried to make sure my kids had plenty of money, and I've never forced discipline on them to do anything that they didn't want to do. You see, I believe in just being the kind of father that my kids would think was cool to hang out with. kind of like their BFF. If you don't know what BFF means, best friends forever. That kind of a father. You see, I believe that kids will eventually make their own decisions of which way they want to be. He also confidently finished his speech by saying, I think this award should go to me because I'm the only father that has let his kids do whatever they wanted and I didn't hinder them one bit. After the crowd listened to all these fathers, it was time for the judge to make his final ruling. But suddenly, there appeared another father that walked up from the back of the room and said, Excuse me, Judge, may I speak to the crowd on behalf of being a father myself? The judge made an exception and allowed the man to speak. This father stepped behind the lectern and quietly began his comments. He said, I've listened to all of these men give their case as to why they think that they should receive this reward. But I have a few questions for them. You see, he said, I was that son that received every monetary thing that I could have from my father. But yet my father was never there for me when I needed to spend time or ask him questions or just cry with. You see, I was lonely without my dad being around. I also have a close friend whose dad was so strict with all the rules at home that he rebelled something terrible after leaving the home, and his life is currently an emotional wreck. You see, he never received any mercy or forgiveness in his life. Lastly, when I became a father, I tried being the BFF dad that allowed my children to have the freedom to do whatever they wanted. And that failed miserably. So he concluded, I'm not running for Father of the Year, but I just want to say that what our children need is a combination of all these things in their lives, but especially to truly love them and pray that they would grow up as godly men and women, which in turn will make them successful fathers and mothers. With this, he sat down quietly in the back row. The crowd was stunned by his comments, and a hush was in the room. Finally, the judge made his way to the front of the room. He began, Thank you, fathers, for all your comments this morning. I've made my decision. Neither father number one, number two, or number three will win this prize today. And as for the fourth speaker, thank you for your heartfelt words. So I've determined that our Father of the Year reward should not go to any earthly father, but truly to our Heavenly Father, as He has been the one that has given us all things that will benefit us in this life. Surely, He is a good, good Father. Amen. Somebody say amen. The Lord laid that story upon my heart. And I want to thank God that He truly is a good, good Father. And so, I want to talk about our Father of the Year, our Heavenly Father, and who He is. And we have been given, some of us, as we have shared here earlier, examples of our fathers. I know Pastor Aaron shared in a sermon not too long ago about some of the things that his father had given to him and taught him. But I want to read just what the scriptures say. Is that okay? As we talk about fathers today. And I promise this won't be long, but all of us that are fathers of any sort in this room, we need to hear this. Now, and again, God has placed men in a particular situation. As one of the videos have shared with us, fathers, you can be mentors. Men, you can be mentors to other children. And mentor them in the ways of the Lord, even though they may not be your children. Because as we've heard, many men have stepped up and said, I will be that father figure in a life. So what does God expect of us? Number one, as fathers, I'm going to say this, that he expects us to train our children. And so as we look at that, many of us know a lot of these scriptures, but I just want to revisit them again. Proverbs chapter 22, and we have been going through the book of Proverbs, but we haven't got there yet. But in the book of Proverbs chapter 22, we read these verses. Verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Interesting portion of scripture, and we learned about this training. We saw that in one of the videos. And this training is not only in things that we need to know in life. See, that's very important. Miss Paula shared that her dad taught her how to work on tractors. And then later on, she learned a whole bunch of other things from her father. So those kinds of things are important. When we think about fathers, I think about my father. My father taught me how to work on automobiles. My father taught me how to be patient when fishing. Because back in those days, it was the kind of fishing where you throw out something in the water and you sit there on a chair and wait for it. His training didn't do too well with me on that. I don't like to fish that way. Laura makes fun of me all the time. I like to get in the boat and I like to move one place to another. And if they're not biting, I'm moving. And she says you need to have more patience like your dad did in that. So, but what else should we train our children to do? And this is the scripture that was in the video. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, you jump back there with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 6 and 7, and these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Fathers, it's so important that we do this. Grandfathers. And I like what they said in the video, Godfathers. Any kind of a father or a mentor. Talk of the things of God with your children. Instill that into them as a part of life. And this first time I heard that, Paula, that your dad instilled, and your mom knew it well, to tithe. Because there's such importance to that. And how that will sustain us through life. And so there are lessons that we learn, and fathers need to be teaching your children that. Now, some fathers might say, yeah, but it's a little too late. They're already grown and they're out of the house right now. It's never too late. It's never too late. Talk of the things of God. And even if your children are not serving God, I am not saying that you should, every time you get around them, just, you know, scripture, 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 and pound that down their throat. But you can talk of the things of God by the way that you live your life. And our children, even adult children, can see that. Talk of those things with your children, folks. So very, very important. And especially if there's grandchildren that come along, talk of those things. The next thing that I have is we need to encourage our children. And this kind of goes along with that story that I read. You over in the book of 1 Thessalonians. I want to read what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. So we need to encourage our children. fathers, grandfathers, encourage them to be the best that they can be. And I heard those comments from several of you as we talked about fathers. Encourage them that with God, all things are possible. Sometimes men get certain things stuck in their head that we have to be tough guys. Some of us were raised that way. Men don't cry. Men don't show emotions. But in all my years of the study of the Word of God, I have not found that to be biblical, folks. Because your children need to see the tenderness of your heart. Recently, I was sharing with a father. This particular father really was convinced that his way was perfect. His way was right. But yet, a different story came from the family. And I shared with this father that it was so important that we get out of what perhaps you were raised with and come back to godly values as a father. Come back to what God says as a father and what a father should be and what God is to us. Let me ask you this. Has God been an encourager to you as a father? So consequently, men, I speak directly to you, but women, this, mothers, this goes with you as well. Encourage your children. Encourage them to be all that God wants them to be. Right now, we have so much in our youth right now. They are empty of hope. I think it was just recently on the prayer line that we heard that a young man shot himself. High schools. Students are shooting themselves. They're killing themselves. They're committing suicide because there is no hope. My question is where are the parents? Where are the fathers that will stand up and say, you can be what God wants you to be? I think it's time for any man that's listening to me to be the man that God has called you to be. You may not have any children, or you may have children, but be the man that God has called you to be. Because the world needs you. Your children need you. Your grandchildren need you to encourage them. And there will be others along the way that are fatherless. And they may have a father figure in the home, but that father figure is not teaching them and guiding them and correcting in the ways of righteousness. Perhaps we can be that man. And I'm passionate about that because you don't have to be a biological father to be able to encourage. Amen? Amen. I'm going to continue on because I could stay here all day with that scripture. I wrote down here, show them your resolve to serve God. Men, I cannot stress how important this is. Because your children and those that are watching you will follow right where you are at. And I shared with another individual. So do you not realize that your children will follow exactly where you have walked? Oh, they won't. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. And it's so important that we do this. Many of us have used the scripture in other contexts, but I want to go back to the book of Joshua. And many of us have this on things in our houses and up on the walls or whatever. I think we've got a banner that says the same thing, don't we, Laura? Joshua chapter 24. And here it is, verse 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Man, I cannot tell you how important that is. Whether the children are serving God yet or not, if you establish that in your home, "As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." We will serve Him in this home. So vitally important that they know where your stand is and where your walk is and your resolve is. One of the very ultimate worst things is for a man to say, "I'm going to serve the Lord," and then whenever times get tough, they quit. Oh, what saga that then pours out upon the rest of their family and their children. Have a resolve to serve God. I told Laura the other day, I said, I am passionate about men serving God. Because we just don't see it like we need to see it. And the unfortunate thing is that I have seen in most of my lifetime and the ministries that I've been in churches over the last 45 years is that most of the church is made up of women that serve God. And we wonder why our world has gone the way that it has. Women, I praise God that you are serving God. And that means so much. And you pick up the slack where men have left off. But that is not an excuse for men. Men need to stand and be the men of God. And stand up for the resolve that I will serve God. You know, it blesses my heart that we've got a young man that comes here every Sunday. John, I love you, buddy. And he hears this word of God. And he's here because he wants to be here. This is going to be for you to carry on when us old guys go away. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for him. But men, we've got to stand up. We've got to stand up and be the men that God's called us to be. So very, very important. Going back to the book of Proverbs again. Now, in our story, father number two was, he thought he should win the award because of his disciplinary actions that he took with his children. How well do you think that worked out for him? And sometimes, even though, you know, we see these scriptures, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, Solomon wrote this, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Listen, discipline is necessary. And fathers, grandfathers, mentors, men, it is important that discipline takes place. However, it is important that it takes place correctly. Because unlike father number two in our story, to him that's all there was to life was discipline. He forgot about things like love and things like mercy and things like people make mistakes. And that's another thing. I do want to praise God for my father. I cannot speak for my brothers or my sister. I can only speak for myself. But I can remember multiple times that my father had mercy on little Jerry. I don't know why, but he did. I believe I was somewhere around 10 years old. Some of you have heard this story before, but if you haven't, I'll tell it again. At 10 years old, I was a natural born leader. And we had a man that built a house on an empty lot that was in our neighborhood, and that was trouble. Because that was my lot, folks. I built a racetrack on that lot. Ramps made out of dirt. I spent hours working on those. so that we could jump. And this man had the audacity to come in and to build a house on that. Tore it all up. Well, I took matters into my own hands. I organized a group of about 10 or 12. My brother was in there, but he says he only threw plastic grapes. I don't remember. But I organized at least 10 of us from the neighborhood. I said, on my command. Now, they had graded. This was wonderful because they had graded the yard and made all the rocks come out to the edge. We had a perfect ammunition pile, folks. And on my account, we stoned that house. And it was a good job, I can tell you that. He's shaking his head. What would you have done with me? Been in big trouble. I knew what time the contractor would be coming back, as he came back the same time every night. So I made sure that my band of raiders had already been done and gone. But that night, I was watching out of my window. I saw him drive up to the house. And at that time, they had aluminum siding. Anybody remember that? Okay. Aluminum siding. And those rocks did a really nice job on that aluminum siding. Textured. It was a textured effect, okay? But he came, and the next thing I saw him walking up to our house. And I began to make out my last will and testament. Because somehow I'd been ratted out. I'm writing it down. My goldfish, Sylvie, he goes to my brother, Rick. My baseball glove, that goes to my other brother, Jeff. Dad called me down. He was on the porch with the neighbor. He says, son, this man says that you did this to his house. Is that correct? I figured I was dying anyway, so I might as well tell him the truth. And I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, get upstairs. I'll be up in a minute. That was the longest minute I ever had. But my dad came up, and my dad said, I'm going to give you two choices, son. He said, you're going to get beat right now, or you're going to have a month in your room. That was a no-brainer for me. I said, I'll take the month. Because I counted on grace and mercy from my dad. And you know what? I only served 2 weeks. My dad had a lot of mercy on me. I don't know why. But that story resonates in my mind. Some of the dads out here would have said, you wouldn't have gotten that from me, buddy. I don't know why. Maybe it was to serve for me to remember grace and mercy. Selena's looking at me. I did not know that about you, Pastor. Please stay away from my house. Huh? It's called mercy. To this day, the only thing that I can think of is that mercy was for me to be able to learn mercy for others. Because that's one of the things that I had constantly asked God for when he called me in the ministry. God, give me your compassion. Give me your mercy. And I believe God's helping me with that. But it's so important that we have the mercy involved when it comes to discipline. Because sometimes fathers take it too far to the other direction. And I'm not saying that my father didn't do that too. But I think that it's so important that we do this correctly. And that's where we jump over into the book of Ephesians. And the instructions that God gives us here through the Apostle Paul. And that sixth chapter of Ephesians, verses 1 through 4. Listen to this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise attached to it, that you might be well and that you may live long on the earth. Now here's this. Look, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See how important that is? there's that balance that's right there. Okay? We do need discipline with children. We know that that's important. And those that we deal with, but do it God's way. Then you jump over a couple books over to the book of Colossians, and Paul shares the same thing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, lest they be, what, discouraged. Some of us can look back and we can say, yeah, you know, I really messed up. I messed up. Maybe I shouldn't have been that way. But it's never too late. Never too late what God can do in changing our hearts and our attitudes. Because a lot of times, kids have been provoked instead of encouraged. Now, there's a nice balance here between discipline and encouragement. Whom the Father loves, He disciplines. God does that with us, does He not? I'm so glad. I'm glad because when I'm in the wrong, I need to be corrected. And believe it or not, kids, actually, when it comes down to it, they need to have that structure. They need to have that discipline. And I'm so thankful that I receive some discipline as well as mercy. And God does that same thing for us. The last thing that I want to bring up here in this morning's message is never stop loving your children, dads. Well, we add moms here to this as well. Don't stop loving them because they're going to mess up. How many of us have messed up in our lifetimes? Come on. How many of you have ever done something that your mom or dad said don't do? Not you. Yeah. Now, John, that's a different story there. Okay. Yeah, we all have, but we don't stop loving. See, our kids need to know that. They just really do. The book of 2 Samuel, kind of a little bit of an interesting insight here. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him. That was the Lord speaking, wasn't it? God said, I'm going to discipline, but my mercy is not going to be taken away. My love is not going to be taken away. One of the things that the Lord led me to start doing many years ago, because I knew that my compassion level needed to be built up and my love needed to be built up, I would say to individuals, there is nothing that you can ever do to make me stop loving you. How many of you heard me say that? Okay. And we need to tell our kids that. They need to know our love is going to be there. Dads, your love is going to be there no matter what it is they do. And sometimes we're challenged on that, right? We're challenged. But just like the Lord doesn't take that love and that mercy away from us, we need to try our very best to make that our resolve. Make it. That you will never do anything that will make me stop loving you. And I've tried to instill that in to the two boys and to the grandchildren. There's nothing that you can do. That also makes a resolve in us, does it not? Yes. Of course, on that note, there would not be anything better than going over to Luke chapter 15, when it comes to this. In verse 20, we all have heard the story of the prodigal son, haven't we? So I don't need to revisit that, but what I do need to say is verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That boy had done everything that he could against the father. Spent everything, wasted it all. And yet the father said what? I see my son. And he came running. Listen, men, I want to speak to you. Sometimes we get a little bit too, if you ain't going to listen to me, I'm done with you. You know, some sons have not spoken to their fathers for years because the father refused to change his mind. Not what God wants, folks. The father came running. It's called compassion and it's called loving. The sermon was called the Father of the Year. We know God, of course, is our Father of the Year. But what about us men and as fathers? Will we attempt to be what God wants us to be as fathers? We need to pay attention to that. You pray together with me. Father, thank you so much for this word today. Thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to our hearts and that you are working. And I pray that you would help us, God, to be fathers that are full of compassion, full of mercy, Lord, and giving mercy when mercy needs to be given, love where love needs to be given. And I pray, God, for this world especially, for the men of God that love you, that they would be the men that would carry on to the next generation the resolve and the love and the encouragement for our children. And I pray that you'd help us to do that. And ask that in the name of Jesus. God's people said, amen, amen, and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.